Leicester looking to get close side of Font. Lafondra away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello, and yep, we're back here again. It's another podcast about a possible 6 points deduction. We all thought we got past it. And oh my God, the news yesterday was just horrific to see that a possibility we could be going through another EFL situation. I'm just going to sigh because that's how I feel about it all. And to help me talk through it, I've been joined by James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle. How are you doing?
You all right, Paul?
I'm okay. You've had a long day, haven't you? A long 24 hours of constant kind of like, what's going on? What? Tell me what it is, James. I mean, it must be pretty tiring being a fan and club covering the club.
Yeah. Days like this are pretty draining. But no, it's good to get in there and get answers. And hopefully we can sort of move on and pick up some more points on the board.
Yes, it would be nice, wouldn't it? So it's never been more vital, actually. Well, apart from last season and maybe next season, who knows? I've also been joined by Alex. How you doing?
I'm okay. It's kind of wouldn't be a Reading season without some kind of drama in it, would it, in recent years?
Yeah, this is a different one, though, isn't it? It feels like a... Yeah, we'll go into more detail about that. So let's go into the timeline. Yesterday, John Percy broke the news about a possible EFL transaction that we've failed and we haven't met the guidelines and they're unhappy with us, basically. So another points deduction looked likely. Then we also got it from other well-known journalists from around the country saying this might be happening. Then we waited. What's this for? What could it possibly be? Then today, James, you spoke, went up to the club and spoke to Paul Ince. And what did he say to you about the situation?
Yeah, well, he hasn't confirmed that a points deduction is sort of on the way, but he said that he's braced for one, and that if it does come, it'll be in the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, that's basically confirming it, just without using the word confirm. He made perfectly clear, as have the club, that it's nothing to do with anything that they've done wrong this season, and that as far as they're aware, him and Mark Bowen have done nothing wrong in the time that they've been back. So, yeah, they coined it as a historical sort of matter as opposed to a present one. But it's still very present for this season in terms of points being taken off the current total.
Yes, it seems to be very clear that it's not something that from 2021, I think that's when it started, isn't it? The situation with the being under the embargo and having the restrictions. So who knows what that is? I don't know what it is. None of us fans know what that is at the moment. I'm sure one day it will come out what the actual situation was. But Alex, the reaction to seeing the news is, it's just so draining being a Reading fan, isn't it?
It's never ending, honestly. I don't know what year we started to in a soft embargo. Was it 2017, 2018? I can't really remember. So much has happened in the last 4 or 5 years. Like, it's got to the point now where you see that there's another points deduction coming in. And it's just kind of like, meh. It's just another one, isn't it? Like, another thing that the EFL wants to kind of hit the club with. You know, ultimately, maybe the club have broken the rules whenever they break the rules. Who knows? Like, none of us. But, it just feels never-ending. It's so draining. As a fan, just to keep dealing with it every single season. You know, we've got 72 clubs in the EFL and probably 65 of them. You never, ever have any interaction with the EFL, yet Reading seem to every single season for one reason or another. It's just, draining is the right word for it.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine what it's like for the players, the staff at the club, because it sounds like they've done everything they could possibly from 2021 to actually get this under control. But historically, there was stuff happening. Maybe that Mark Bowen on the phone there, who knows? But what I was going to ask, I think this is, I'm going to try and lighten the mood here just slightly from NCC Dakota. Just how bad is this and how much of it can be blamed on Matt Mills? James, I mean, how much of this can we blame on Matt Mills? Because I think we should blame it all on him. Why not?
Yeah, I totally agree. Mills is the root of all evil. And yeah, I would lay the blame solely at Matt Mills.
I think that's fair. I think that's absolutely fair. I think he should take the deduction for us.
On a serious note, there probably realistically is only, you know, a couple of people to blame in this whole situation for the last however many years. And I think 99% of Reading fans know who it is. Ron Gourlay and Dai Young are probably going to be up there. And that's kind of all there is really to blame, like, for the situation that the club keep finding themselves in year after year.
Well, yeah. I'd love to be like, try and dance around that and say it wasn't the situation. But let's have another question here. Ross Stu, which I think is exactly the mentality we should be looking here from Stu. You're thinking from my playbook here. If you were Ince now, surely you'd turn this into a siege mentality with the players, then versus the Wildstyle. Do you think the players react in this way? Well, we'll ultimately see from the players, but the way they perform this season, James, you've got to think they will give everything, but it's also a kick in the teeth for them, isn't it?
Yeah, there's been a siege mentality the whole season. Every possible thing that's went against the club has been used as sort of a shield. And it's definitely gone to the club's advantage this season, even if those sort of excuses were beginning to wear thin in the last few weeks. They've been used consistently. It's a real kick in the teeth to the players because, whenever you speak to them, they were still harbouring hopes of playoffs. And, that's that's gone now. It's definitely very much looking over your shoulder again. But I guess the one positive is a lot of these squad were here last year and know how to deal with relegation battles and can sort of use last year's success, if you want to call it that, to sort of plan for this year in a hopefully a much more comfortable sort of margin with 7 points clear as opposed to, what was it, 1 or 2 points above the drop when Ince came in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the situation that we're in, the question that we're all asking is, will the embargo be gone this summer? There's multiple questions on that, and it's the one we'd all love to know. I mean, surely the club, James, are going to be in a position when they say, come on, this is enough. I mean, I don't know, but it feels like that should be it.
Yeah, I think the summer could be a big turning point. I don't see what else the club could really do at the end of this season. It's been hit, 2, 3, 4, 5 years of some form of restrictions. I mean, there's got to come a point somewhere where you've got to say, look, we've had our medicine, let us build now. Because, if you stand still in football, which Reading have for the last 5 or 6 years, and you're going backwards, and there's only sort of, inevitably, you can't tread water forever and end up in League One if they keep having to do this constantly.
Yeah, I mean, I feel sorry for the staff at the club as well. They're even more on edge now, aren't they? I'm not talking about people on the footballers' wages, because they're on an absolutely incredible wage. Then good luck to them. But if you're on a so-called normal job, you've started to think, oh, okay, I'm going to be okay next season, Alex. But you're now a little bit more worried again, aren't you?
Yeah, and it's, completely out of your hands. You've got no control over it. You've got no say over what happens. It all comes down to basically people in a boardroom somewhere deciding that, Reading are going to get deducted points for something that might have happened 18 months ago, 2 years ago, who knows? It must be quite a crap, couple of days when you probably haven't been told by the club before you see it online that there's probably going to be a points deduction. And then, you can kind of add 2 and 2 together. If you work for the club, if there's a points deduction, it's a higher chance of relegation, higher chance that you could end up losing your job. I wouldn't be a particularly happy camper if I was working for the club in a regular role, I think, at this point.
Now, on that point, James, when were the players told?
The players were told yesterday, but the players didn't know until they got back from training and read it on Twitter or online in the dressing room after training. And then Ince went in and he said that he got him, Mark Bowen, and a collection of senior players, sort of his playing committee, together to sit him down and explain the situation. But I think it was actually Andy Carroll. He name checked today, saying Carroll went up to him and said, "What's this from the Mail about possible deduction?" So yeah, not the most ideal way that the club would probably want to have the players find out, but you know, it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah, I'm sure the club aren't happy with that situation from the EFL, that coming out.
It's frustrating because it seems like over the last couple of years, every single thing that's happened with the EFL and Reading often comes out via a leak first before it gets communicated to the club. I'm sure someone at the club must have been in contact with the EFL yesterday after the leak, but there doesn't seem to be any kind of like coherent strategy where the club find out first, they're able to communicate it to the players, and then the EFL and the club communicate out at the same time. It just seems to be leaks all over the shop that things are going to happen to the club and points deduction, 6 points, 12 points, how many, you know, embargoes. And it doesn't seem like there's much in the way of information security or communication between the club and the EFL, particularly on these matters. It just seems that they kind of leak information to journalists here, right, you know, left, right and centre. No offence, yeah. James, because obviously you are one of the journalists, but it's a different level, right?
Yeah, most definitely. And it's not just the EFL. I mean, you had Ivan Toney yesterday come out and moan at the FA for, is it the FA? They're leaking his betting breaches. So it's all over the shop. So yeah, not ideal and a bit amateurish really from the EFL.
That's a phrase I don't expect I'll ever hear again. Lying, amazingly. I think Cameron kind of sums it up here with kind of a statement rather than a question. I would love to ask James something, but the club, the EFL, have just left me speechless. It's a never-ending spiral. It feels like that, and I can totally associate with that, Cameron. It is a... I'm sorry if we all sound a little bit flat, but that's how we kind of feel, so... I can't pretend to be hyper. I mean, I could, but I'd end up sending myself completely crazy and nobody wants that. So talk about craziness. I see some people saying that relegation would be a good thing, Alex. And thought of relegation being a good thing. I mean, come on. How can that be good for anyone?
I don't know why we're still seeing people say this. Relegation would be terrible in every sense. It would be awful. I don't want to go and watch this play, I don't know, Lincoln. I don't want to go and watch us play Port Vale. Yeah, it'd be cool to go to those grounds, but I don't want to go and watch us play them in the league at home on a Wednesday night in December in the EFL Trophy where there's 1,000 fans there. It's, like, no one wants that. No one wants to see however many people at the club lose their job. No one wants to see the fan base, you know, cut in half again because we've dropped down a division. Like, you know, for the 700 or 1,000 people, hardcore fans who want to go and watch League One football, like it's already there. Just you've only got to travel half an hour up the road and go and watch Oxford.
Don't do that.
But in all seriousness, like relegation, it's never a good thing. Like, you know, I know people say you can reset and things like that, but that is not, you know, it's not how it works. It's not a guarantee. It just isn't. It isn't a good thing. No. I really hope that it seems it's most for the most part. It seems that talk has kind of like died off over the last year. But like, I really hope it doesn't come back. Now the fact that, you know, we'll probably end up close to the relegation zone after this points deduction.
No, I hope so. I'm going to have a final question here, which is from Little Gem, and I think it is yet again another bit of a statement. If EFL have conducted a thorough investigation 2 years ago and missed something so significant that it warrants a 6-point deduction, surely that constitutes corporate misconduct and casts enough doubt in EFL's competence that they need to be investigated themselves. Agree? Now, this is a really complicated one and a little bit of a dodgy one, but I think the EFL as an institution... I've been proven to be inept in many situations. Is this situation all down to the EFL? No, sadly it isn't. It's also the club historically as well. But James, they cover themselves in absolutely no glory to all the EFL ever, do they?
No, and they haven't done for a good number of years. I mean, you've only got a couple of years. Even last year with Derby and Wickham and Sheffield Wednesday and Middlesbrough and, you know, God knows what else. I mean, I think they've improved, really. They're not really fit for purpose in the way they are at the minute. A typical sort of old boys network of men with white hair in suits. The whole of the English football sort of system needs a bit of a shake-up, really. I mean, not just saying that as bitter Reading fans that have been on the end of them for a while, although we are there. But it's not just for that reason. They're definitely not fit for purpose.
I think even if you look outside of the Reading situation, you can probably establish that the EFL don't do a particularly good job of managing the clubs within their competition. They don't do a particularly good job of assisting clubs through any kind of situation that they find themselves in. No one really knows whether to do a particularly good job of, you know, vetting owners. Seemingly not, looking at the ownership levels within the EFL, there's a number of terrible owners. With this kind of like newest points deduction threat coming in at the moment, there doesn't seem to be a particular note yet as to what it's about. All that we really know is that it's from before Bowen and Ince's time, so sometime before what, November 21. It could have something to do with 21-22, so maybe it's against last season, but it's very frustrating when you've been led to believe that there's been a thorough investigation up to that point and that's what they've been punished against. Seems to be fairly typical EFL, doesn't it? Like there's a little bit more which they haven't quite finished, and then everything just drags on slightly too long, and there's never a finality to what they've decided.
Yeah, I mean, let's just double down on this. We haven't actually had this confirmed yet, but it's sounding very likely that it will be happening in the next few weeks. And let's just hope above anything else that this is the end of it. And, you know, I'm still optimistic, even with a 6-point deduction, that we'll stay up. If we get anything else, yeah, it's going to be insanely difficult. But you can't rule out anything with the EFL. I'm going to wrap this one up now, and we will now be recording a preview podcast for the game against Middlesbrough, which, of course, is going to be a nice, easy one. So have a listen to that one, and thanks a lot to James, who's an absolute hero for doing this, despite being harassed on every single second of the day about what's going on. So cheers for that.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.